And it's coffee time with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Pour your cup.
That old
Join us.
Wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
Oh, yeah.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Okay.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is
Amen.
Gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong. And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Amen. It's gonna roll around again. Now when we turned on the radio mic here at the Radio Ranch, we prayed first. And we prayed that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, would guide and direct us to the scriptures, illustrations. And as that thing was playing, I felt a great, strong urge in my inner spirit to read to you a scripture. Oh, hallelujah. That old wheel's going to roll around again. It says in Isaiah, verse 26, friends, verse 20. Come, my people, enter into your room and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. And then the next verse is the one. For behold, the Lord is about to come out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. I read that the other day, and the Spirit just kind of convicted me to say, hey, maybe 2011. Been 11 years I've been praying that there be some bloodshed revealing, and it's coming. Hallelujah. This whole wheel's going to roll around again, and Dad's going to even the score. Hallelujah. These are exciting times, men.
Amen.
I've got the Radio Ranch Wranglers here. Charismatic Kyle, he's smiling, and we got Right and Ready. Richard here, and Just Jason is not with us tonight, but or the day, and we got a replacement. Not much of a replacement, but we'll take what we can get.
Well, I was just going to say, do I get a name, a moniker, you know, like Right and Ready or Just Jason or Charismatic Kyle?
How about Kind Chris?
That's better than Nice Chris.
Right, that's better than Nice Chris. We got Chris hooked up, but he's honorary ranch wrangler with us this morning.
How about the best we could do, Chris?
Best we could do, Chris.
I like that one.
At the last moment.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, so we got those three and myself, and what we do is we turn on the mic and we just go, and I'll just let whatever, whoever's got. By the way, I got a phone call yesterday from one of my Acres of Diamond men, and he said that his nephew heard Mormon boy Beck say that Japan was melting away. And then he quoted Isaiah 52. Isn't that interesting?
Beck quoted Isaiah 52.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I've been told that these guys are listening to Pastor Peters, and they're using some of the things I've been saying. They can't come up with original thought.
But, well, did Richard get you that movie trailer that I sent over to him yet?
Hadn't had a chance to yet. It's still pretty early in the morning out here at the Radio Ranch, and I can't move that between computers, but I think when we're done, I'll show the pastor. But
what is it?
It's a new movie coming out. Do they have a release date on that yet, Chris?
July 29th.
Cowboys versus Aliens.
I've seen the previews to that.
And it is a serious, it's not a comedy. Is that right, Chris?
No, I mean, it's not a comedy.
It's a science fiction drama, whatever you call it. Cowboys versus Aliens.
Is that right?
And they've got, who's the guy that plays in it? Is that the guy that played James Bond?
I think it is. And yeah. I knew that Pastor knew some aliens. So I was wondering if he knew any cowboys.
I think we're having trouble with this phone line here.
Click.
I don't have to take this. Where's the off button on here?
That's right. Yeah. Mute. But but yeah, it is. It's it's been in the, I think, Harrison Ford and this top name.
That's interesting.
Cowboys versus Aliens.
I wonder who they have.
What made me think of it was, you know, you're saying that they listen to you. They apparently have been listening through the Alien series.
Yeah.
I wonder who they have winning in that movie.
I think the Cowboys do.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's one a Spielberg movie. I know that.
Yeah.
You know, when I, years ago, old Spielberg knows who I am. And my Radio Ranch Wrangler dog wants out. Will you let him out?
Sure.
Anyway, years ago, this is going back a while, when I had the television program called Truth for the Times, Spielberg came out with that movie called, what was that name of that movie about the Holocaust?
Schindler's List.
Schindler's List, yeah. And so he took that off of a particular book, and I just happened to have, when I had that radio, that television program, Truth for the Times, I had Ernst Sundell come on as a TV guest. And he came on with the book that Schindler's List was based on, that Spielberg had. He did really, he said, now I want to show you something on this book. And he turned the book, and on the spine was a letter F. Now, you know what the word F, letter F, means on a novel. It means it's fiction. And the whole thing was based on a fiction. And we talked about the Holocaust and the fiction of the 6 million. And I tell you what, you talk about raising up a hornet's nest. The people that I had a contract with and running the TV program, they were contacted. They contacted me. They were upset. And they also, that very week, Spielberg flew out. I was filming in Colorado, in Denver. And Spielberg flew out to Denver, met with the governor. And the governor decreed that Schindler's List was to be shown in all the schools in Colorado. So they know. Who Pastor Peters is. These pastors. Let's do something right now. Father in heaven, I come together with Radio Ranch Wranglers and Honorary Wrangler Chris, and we bind right now old Stevie Spielbergy, that little Jew boy. We bind him. He's made millions. And now we bind him from being able to be effectively sorcery spell casting on the people. We bind him completely, and we loose his hold, and he and his comrades there in Hollywood over the minds of the American people. We pray it in Jesus' name as we see it done in heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know, Pastor, there's going to be some out there that say, well, how, you know, that, and you've said it before, but, well, that just doesn't sound Christian. You know, that's just not Christian at all. And so, you know, I would just put out to you people that, you know, read the parable of the tares and the wheat and see if that is not God's will. And God's will is that the tares will be bundled and burned. And then if you go over to Matthew, where are we at? Matthew 7:21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so you may be out there thinking you're a Christian, and you may be doing like it says here, prophesying in his name. You may think you're casting out demons, and you may think you're performing miracles. But if you practice lawlessness, he's not going to know you. He doesn't know you now, and he won't know you on that day.
When I became a Christian, that's one of the first chapters, verses I happened to read, you know, within that few week period afterwards. And I read that where it said, depart from me. It terrified me. Mm-hmm. I said, if there's people that's doing miracles and casting out demons and doing all of this, and he says to them, depart from me. I said, Lord, I want to know you. What's it going to take?
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that led me down the path. Where we've ended up is because I would pray, Lord, I want the truth, no matter what the truth is.
Yep. Well, and it ties back to just you flip your page over to the left, Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. And the law is still repent or perish.
Well, to show you how God works, I was praying and crying out, Lord, about the law, because what I read was what you just read. It didn't say that it had ended.
Yeah.
And I had happened to buy a shortwave radio at the flea market, not because I wanted to listen to shortwave, because I knew nothing about shortwave, but because it had a good AM on it. And that night, I was playing with it, and I happened to be punching in buttons. And I heard this strange radio program come up, and it said, Tonight, The Law, Part 3. And I ordered that series of tapes.
Wow, it's amazing.
And, yeah.
On this note,
rest is history.
On this note, I'll read 1 Timothy chapter 8 through 10. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, faggots is what that means, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, that is what the law is still here for.
Well, can you imagine the confusion of what happens when you have a relatively intelligent person that can read, becomes a Christian, jumps right into it and starts reading the Bible, and they're reading it and it says this, and then every preacher they turn on, every television program, every radio program, every church they go into, tells them contrary to what they just read.
Yeah.
What kind of stupor does that put people in?
And that's a fact. That's what goes on out there.
You know, and it all kind of goes back to this overly interpretation of grace. You know, they kind of put it out that everybody since the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is under grace. No matter what kind of evil,
right,
wicked sinner they are, they're all under grace and they're all going to be forgave. You know, and it just makes me sick. You know,
in the
first place, you're not under grace until you die to your old ways of life. That is, and we all know here with this ministry how you do that.
Well, too, and then you get the new Christian, and like I said, they just read it, and they're able to read, and then the preacher goes, well, you're young in the Lord. Just listen to what we're telling you.
Yeah, that law was nailed to the cross, brother. Don't you know that?
Yeah. And what I would point out, I said, well, so is sin, but people still sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you hear this, you know, we talked about that Take Your Gay Teen to Church Day in Texas here a couple months ago, and they quoted it about three times in the article about unconditional love, and talk about a blaspheming of the scriptures. Yeah. You know, it's not so much as if we love him, but it's if he loves us, and because if we love him, we'll do what he says to do.
If we could only learn that these preachers are Amalek and they're Esau. Give you a good example of that. You know, a couple months back, they had that pornography down in Loveland, Colorado, displayed as art. Uh-huh. And it was blasphemous against Christ. And there was a truck driver woman that was a Christian woman. And she went in there with a tire iron and broke that plexiglass and destroyed his so-called work of art. Uh-huh. And she was arrested, thrown in jail, and then the judge very cleverly set bail on her that it was a cash bond. Well, bailsmen won't go with cash bonds. And so she had no one in there to do her bail. And she's sitting in there, and it was, of course, the news media just came all over it like a bunch of flies on a garbage pail about what she'd done. And the point is that I wanted to make, and by the way, somebody did do her bail, and they never did figure out who did it.
Yeah.
Somebody went down there with cash and got her out. And boy, the reporters were trying to find out who was responsible for this. They never did. And I guess the world will never know. But anyway, the preacher at the, what is it called?
Was it Crossroads?
Resurrection.
Resurrection.
Resurrection Fellowship. Huge church down there in Loveland. He goes and contacts the
artiste.
The artiste, the perverted faggot, so-called artist, and has reconciliation with him and agrees to have him do a work of art for their church. And you know something? I think one or two families left the church. That was it.
Yeah, out of thousands.
Yes, out of at least a thousand. No conviction. People have no conviction out there. The other day I was told about somebody that's supposedly a Christian. He was raised a Christian. His father turned over in the grave if he knew he did this. Elton John came to town. Now, I'll have to admit, I think Elton John's got a good voice, myself. I don't listen to him. Never. I don't have any Elton John music or anything like that, but I've heard him. I know the guy can sing. He comes to town and holds a concert, and so-called Christian people pay money to go hear him.
Yep.
No conviction.
That's right.
Absolutely no conviction.
You know, they're the big, in the sports world this week, the F word has been the big thing, and I'm not talking about the four-letter F word. I'm talking about the one you mentioned a while ago, faggot. Because old Kobe Bryant, you know, the L.A. Lakers star, he got caught on film swearing at a referee and calling him a faggot. Well, they won't tell you on the first of all, they won't even tell you on what they're talking about. They won't say the word.
Right.
You
know? No, they don't say the word.
It's like the N word now. You know, yeah. You can't even say it. They'll just say he said a word that related to homosexuals. You know, but you know, so he got fined like $100,000.
He did.
For saying the word faggot.
Calling a referee a faggot. Yeah. You know. Probably an effing faggot, you know.
Yeah, but you don't hear
that. I didn't see it. I've only heard reports. But
$100,000.
Yeah. You know, and it's just because he got caught on film. I mean, if they hadn't had, you know, the TV camera on him or whatever, you know, he would have got away with it fine.
But that's really been about it, right? He got a call from one of the basketball commissioners, Stern or Berg or something.
Well, that's the president. Yeah, Mr. Yeah. Jewish, you know, yeah. Stern.
He said, you know, this is improper. And that was about it. because Kobe Bryant's black. Now, could you imagine if it would have been a white person doing that?
Oh, man.
You know, they would be demand. I mean, they would be suspending him. And
oh, they'd have him go to mental counseling.
Yeah.
Let me do something here a second. Faggot, 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 faggot.
Well, you're talking about how the church wasn't upset that they had that artist come in and do a work of art. A couple of weeks ago here in the area where I am, there was a Glenn Beck came to speak. Now, you know, we know about Glenn Beck, but at the same time in the same facility, there was this nasty, filthy rapper called Lil Wayne doing a concert, and he had 15 tour buses there, 15 $500,000 or more tour buses for him and his boys.
Wow.
And there were protesters out there protesting Glenn Beck, who had 200 or 300 people show up at his speaking thing, maybe even 500. But Lil Wayne, who had all of these young Israelite men bringing their dates to it, had all these interracial people going in there, all this trash and filth that he has. And one of his albums I saw was Rebirth, I Am Not a Human Being.
Yeah, we call.
Is he a black man?
Black man, yeah. And they were protesting, you know, Glenn Beck, who wasn't going to do anything filthy during his show. But Lil Wayne right next door, they didn't care.
Well, that brings us to the day of the Lord. It's going to be a day where he exterminates sinners.
Yes.
He's going to get rid of the worthless.
We got a call this week from a woman named Donna in Ohio, and she it was after prayer night, so I took the message down yesterday, and she had a couple of lesbians move in across the street from her, and she wanted prayers against them dykes, you know, because you know they bring a spirit with them.
Yes, they do.
And she says their music, just the way they are, you know, it just gives them the creeps, you know. I mean. So anyway, we got that to, I don't know, we want to wait till Wednesday or we could do it any time, but we need to bind those lesbians that's moved in across the street from her.
You know. Well, let's do it. I think
now's a good time.
Yeah, can't get any better. Heavenly Father, we do it.
Amen.
You know these two lesbian ducks. You know the number of hairs on their head. I know they got their head shaved probably. And Lord, I see them. This woman is upset about them. We bind them.
Yes, Lord.
We bind them in their licking tongues. We bind them tight. We call for this binding to be done in heaven, and we see it done there. That their confusion, their spirit cannot radiate into that neighborhood.
Yes.
And we loose the hold that these dirty dykes have upon people, thinking that it's just an alternate lifestyle they choose. We loose that. We bind and loose, and we see it done in the heavens right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, there's a big push around on billboards that I've noticed that it's illegal to discriminate against about who you rent houses or apartments to. So the owner of that facility apparently will rent to anyone because he doesn't want to be in trouble with the law.
You know, I'm working on, in my mind right now, a sermon for tomorrow. And I don't know exactly where I'm going to go. There's so many things I need to cover. And I know that there's going to be, this day of the Lord, there's going to be some that are unscathed. There's going to be some that are burned, and there's going to be some that are burned up. The fruitless trees are going to be cut down, and they're going to be burned up. I lost my thought here. What were we talking on?
The renting of apartments and places.
On the queers.
Yes, this is what I wanted to bring out. I remember back in the 50s that there were mom-and-pop hotels. And if you came in as a young person and you were going to rent a room, there were times they made you prove that woman you had was your wife. because if it wasn't your wife, they were not going to rent the room to you. Today, it don't make any difference. But why did they do it back then? Because they understood then that it would bring the wrath of God on their community if they allowed such fornication to blatantly go on. Now, that's one of the things I think we're going to have in the kingdom is, let me put this, one of the things we're not going to have in the kingdom are corporations. They're immoral. They're ungodly. The bottom line is always the profit margin. And that mom and pop motel cannot compete with a Holiday Inn, with a Marriott, or whatever it might be. But they had clean rooms. They were an inn that was open and moral, but the corporations are not.
Right. And you can apply that to just about anything, whether it's a hotel, whether it's a grocery store, you know, just about any type of business, you know, where the mom and pop didn't have to hire the queers. You know, they didn't have to hire those, and wouldn't, because just like you said, they knew that you could not, you know, have that sin there, and they weren't going to do it. They knew it was wrong, and they weren't going to support it.
You know, the other day, Chris sent me, email-wise or fax, can't remember which, information on a church. And because it occurred to me, there's no way a little church like I've got can compete with the big churches. It's like that mom and pop, little mom and pop store. It used to be a grocery store, used to have them. They cannot compete with Walmart, so they go out of business. And you take a little church, the big church, the one that you sent me, what were some of the things they had going for them, Chris?
Well, you know, I was thinking of switching because they had a gymnasium. They had a workout room. They had a snack room. They had, 20 or 30 different ministries within it?
Yep.
From a divorce ministry to a family loss ministry to a tithing ministry. It goes on and on and on. And it's set up so that, you know, once you get in there, you can get involved in something.
Yeah.
And it makes people feel like they're part of something big, and it's accepted in the community. It's where you can meet high society and get ahead, that type of thing. Now, how can a little church like the LaPorte Church of Christ compete with that? The only answer is, and this is the niche that this preacher found, and that was, Paul said the day would come when they would not endure sound doctrine, but he said, you keep on preaching it. And the niche is, you preach the truth, and there will be some out there that start praying, God, show me the truth, and they'll find you. Just like what happened with you, Chris.
That's true.
And that's the difference.
Well, you know, current events, kind of shifting gears here. Been another crazy week. Monday, Jason and I flew out to Vegas to go to the NAB, National Association of Broadcasters, and happened to pick up a paper, and they'd had over 60,000 acres burned in Midland, Texas.
Yes, and we don't hear a thing about it.
No. It was like 12 square, huge, and that was way back then. And, you know, we have some associates and some friends in Midland, Texas.
I talked to him last night, good. One of them, Mr.
Good.
King.
Good, I called one on right there Monday, and our friend Steve wasn't in, but I talked to a couple people there in the office, and they said that they knew people that got burned out. It wasn't right there where their place was, but it was on the other side of town.
He said in the news broadcast down there, which we don't hear nationwide, is they're saying never before.
Yeah.
Never before. This is something going on they've never seen before. Huge fire, and we have no knowledge of it.
Nope. And then, so all through, and it wasn't just in Midland, Texas, but all through Texas, they have that. All around Oklahoma and places have severe drought. You know, it's very early in the year still. They haven't even got into summer. This is still spring. You know, we got some much-needed moisture here just in the last day or two ourselves.
Boy, didn't we?
But severe drought in just in that you know, Midwestern United States, you know, Texas and Oklahoma and up.
They say it's worse since, hadn't been this bad since the Dust Bowls.
Then you go just north of there, North Dakota and over into Minnesota and places, and they're having the worst flooding they've ever had. Fargo, North Dakota, they've been gearing up for weeks. They're having severe...
50 miles of roads underwater or destroyed.
There you go. Severe flooding. You know, just a hop, skip, and a jump north. And so in the middle part of the United States, the bottom part is under severe drought, and then the top part of the middle United States is under severe flooding, almost just splitting the country right in half.
Well, did you hear just this overnight? They had several people killed by tornadoes down in, yep, I think, Alabama or Arkansas.
On Thursday.
While at the same, yep, time, up in your area, there's 120 miles of interstate closed because of a blizzard.
Yeah, it was yesterday. We flew back in on Thursday, and then Friday it finally cleared up. But Thursday, Laramie was socked in. You had interstate from just about from the Utah state line to Cheyenne was closed. And then
you get immune to it after a while.
Yeah, I couldn't get back in when I came in 287 on Thursday afternoon. The it was still closed going up the mountain. Hmm. We just squeezed in below.
I'm looking at that website now, and Pastor, here's part of your problem with your church is, you know, on the website they've got the bishop, and then the co-pastor just happens to be his wife.
Well, that's happening a lot across the country. You notice that?
Oh, if people will start noticing the billboards, anytime there's an advertisement for a church now, they have a picture of the preacher, and then they put the wife in there, too.
Yeah,
because that spirit is the one really running the church.
Yep. Well, what church was it there in Revelation that he had this against them? They tolerated Jezebel.
Yep.
And the churches tolerate it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, nobody mentioned this week was, as of Friday, was April 15th, tax day.
Well, that's right.
I don't know if anybody out there has filed or not, but, you know, they sure are pushing it on the... on the local, anyway, the local stations and stuff, you know. Get to Walmart, you know, because they have those...
Oh, yeah, Walmart will do your taxes for $38.
Packard or whatever it is. Yeah, they got these little booths set up there.
You can get your flu shot, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard something on the news about... it was somewhere in Colorado. I wanted to have Richard look that up on the internet. But they were talking about any children that got their flu shot better go in and get checked for HIV.
Oh, wow, that was huge. They had a little clinic down somewhere in Colorado. I don't remember the state, but I read that on Thursday. And, you know, they had some, they didn't say who, but my bet would be she's either black or Hispanic or some white crackhead. But the, they're coming in. The first, the nurse or assistant mixed up the dosages for the children. And then when they came in, they're supposed to get like two shots. So she gives them a shot and then changes the needle, but there's still all this fluid still in the vial, still in the syringe, which you can have cross-contamination, and just puts them in a box. And then other kids come in and they're just swapping. It's just, crazy the way that they're mixing this stuff up. And they had to tell the parents, had to send a letter out and say, if your child, you know, from 6 months to... what was it, 36 months or something like that, got a shot on these days, you need to have it tested for HIV, for hepatitis C, Hep B, four or five different.
Well, that's how they generate their own business.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Here are just a few of the ministries that you might want to consider that again, is off of this website. The Mighty Men of Valor Ministry, the Women of Purpose Ministry, Singles Ministry, Kingdom Builders, Couples Ministry, Radically Anointed Youth Ministry, Anointed Wives Ministry, Christian Women's Fellowship Ministry.
Yeah, you're right. It is hard to compete. And then the pictures, Chris, that you sent on that. You know, the gymnasium they had is better than anything Laramie's got.
It's better than your whole church.
It is the gymnasium. And then the big recreation floor, you know, basketball courts, a multi-million dollar facility.
Well, on here, too, they had two whole days dedicated to the pastor's birthday.
2 days?
Yeah. Mm.
2 days. Wow.
Yeah, you get that, don't
Chris,
you?
Chris, you had to mention that, didn't you? You had to mention that.
You know, if I apparently their staff loves their pastor. So they've gone way out of line, and look, you know, they've got a big party here. There's tents and bands, and wow, these guys went to a lot of work for their pastor that they loved.
Yeah, they love him now. They're going to hate him on the day of judgment.
Yep. Mm. You know, Pastor, I found here at the end of Daniel, you were talking about that day in Daniel 12. There will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And in that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Wow. And if our people would only realize that, you know, that's that choice. Go to the right where I have my sheep.
Well, see, that cross-references right with Isaiah. I read, let me say this, I read Isaiah 26, 20 and 21. I ought to read verse 19. It says, your dead will live, their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits.
Wow, that is...
It's going to happen.
Yes.
Well, and I know you guys are all bummed about Oprah Winfrey leaving network television for her own network.
Yeah, I didn't really want to talk about that. I was wearing sackcloth. And
But, you know, here's the thing. You know, her last episode, she's selling commercials for it for $1 million a minute.
She gets $1 million a minute.
Well, that's for her last episode because it's going to be so highly viewed. But the articles that I've seen back and forth are that the O Network, the Oprah Network, is struggling. People aren't watching it.
Yeah, they even said on the news this week that that she was not going to promote Barack Obama's next term because it's understood that she'll lose 5% of her audience, and she can't afford to lose 5% of her audience if she backs Obama, so she's just going to stay out of it, I guess. That's not a joke, though. And that church that you were referring to earlier, Pastor, was the Church of Thyatira, you know, where they suffered the woman Jezebel. And boy, do we, you know, like Chris was saying, you know, all those women of this and you know, all the pastors' wives and everything, that Jezebel spirit is, boy, there's not hardly a church out there anymore that doesn't have that, you know, sitting there next to the pastor, poking him in the sides, telling him what he can say and what he can't say.
That's America today. Yep. Women and children rule over you.
Go ahead, Chris.
I'd like to encourage the men that are out there that the whole society has... all of my life anyway, has always had it so that it's the man's fault no matter what it is. And, you know, I remember, you know, my wife and I were having some issues, and I remember that aha moment when I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden it hit me. It's not my fault. I'm working. I'm doing all I can. I'm raising my family. I'm trying to do the right thing. It's not my fault. You know, because they've turned it so that it's always our fault, even in the court systems. You know, we could call and say a wife's out of order and nothing happens, but a woman can call on us, and then you can't ever own a gun again in North Carolina.
Yeah, and you might lose your children and your house and your family and everything.
You tell me the prophet didn't know what he's talking about when he said women and children rule over you.
Yeah, he knew exactly what he's talking about. In chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, it says this, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. for that is even all one, if as if she were shaven. Now, I've always took that, correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor, is a woman who prays to God needs her head covered by a man. Now, rather, if she's not married, I assume that man needs to be her father or her uncle or some type of an order anyway. And a man who is ruled by his wife, ruled by his woman in his life, you know, it's a shame for him to pray to God because his head is covered by that woman. I mean, that's the way I take it. I mean, am I wrong here? Or
I think it applies there. And I also do think this. I've never preached on it much because there's so much more that's got to be covered these days. But there was a time when women did not find themselves out in public without a head covering. They wore hats or they wore a scarf. You just look back in the 50s.
It says in there that it's a sign that they're in order for the angel's sake. I think it's because an angel is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything like the Lord. He can only act on what he sees. And when he sees a woman in order, he knows that he can act to protect her.
Could be.
Yeah.
But I do think the main explanation is what Kyle just gave.
I agree.
You know, I know of, at least back in Oregon, I imagine it happens all over the country, you have these women retreats where these women, they leave their families, they leave their husbands and their children, and they go off for a woman's retreat,
yeah,
maybe a long weekend or a week, I don't know. But the horriblest, I guess that's not really a word, but I'll use it as a word, thing about it is when they're on these retreats, they... Who do they talk about? But they have these prayer sessions, and they take communion apart from their husband. You know, and I don't know about you, but if my wife went on a retreat and somebody had to lead that communion, you know, to me it's a complete out of order thing, and to me they're probably going to come home with some type of a Jezebel spirit. You know, and the two people that we know went on these retreats, I mean, I would bet, a month's salary that they came home with a Jezebel spirit, because it wasn't too long after that they were having big time marital problems. You know, but
spirits are contagious.
They are.
And I agree with what Kyle's saying.
You know, the thing that really, I've read this before and sure tried to apply it, but the thing that jumped out at me on this is when you read there in 1 Corinthians, Kyle 11, 3. But I want you to understand, and if just our men would understand this, it says, but I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. And so that's how we're to be. We are in submission to him. And man is the head of a woman. So we're to have our women, and then come our children. It doesn't say that, but I think it's implied, and we
in other verses
that.
It does.
Yeah, and so right there it is, and so, you know, right there should be enough. But what the men need to understand is the last part, and God is the head of Christ. You know, and Jesus himself told us, I can do nothing on my own, but I have to see my Father in heaven do it. He knew he had to be in perfect submission to God the Father to do the things that he did, the miracles and all that. And, you know, rebellion is it's as the spirit of witchcraft, but it is so prevalent. We see it in our own circles. You know, we hear men asking for prayers and men wanting this and men wanting that. And, you know, we find time and time again that, yeah, by golly, they want their wives and children in submission to them, but they're not in submission to Christ.
Good point. Yeah,
that's a fact. When I first got married,
good point.
I'll confess the fault right here. I wanted my wife to be in complete subjection to me while I went golfing, while I went hunting, while I served my flesh, you know. In other words, I wanted her to be in order when I was completely out of order. You know, I mean, I was not doing nothing but serving my flesh all the time. You know, yeah, I'd read my Bible once in a while, but there's no way that I was in submission to my Lord the way I should have been, you know. But yet I was expecting her, and she actually did a pretty good job of being where she needed to be, you know, but I wasn't doing a very good job.
Well, the thing with that, Kyle, is that when a woman is in submission, even when a man is out of order, And her prayers go straight to the Lord, and the Lord brings that man into submission.
Absolutely.
Right? And her being out of order, just because you're out of order, is no excuse for her. Her prayers and your prayers are hindered at that point. But a woman that is in order, I believe, cannot be denied anything from the Lord or from her husband. You just want to do everything you can for that woman.
Right. That makes perfect sense.
That's within your power.
Yeah.
And Kyle, I don't think I would ever confess that I went golfing.
Not and try to be a Radio Ranch wrangler.
No, that really... You, can I take his place?
Was it probably miniature golf, wasn't it?
But
yeah, it was miniature golf. I rode my miniature horse, Shetland pony. But, you know, then it goes on in 11, you know, just want to bring this up, you know. It talks about the hair, you know, how it says even now nature itself tells you that it's a shame for a man to have long hair.
And that was 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, 2,000 years, because it is a shame now. Right. It should be.
It should be.
You know, and what a telltale sign it is out there, not only for women with bobbed off hair, but for men with long hair. You know, I mean, I'm not saying every case is that way, but on a whole, man, if you see a woman with bobbed off hair, you got a problem. And if you see a man with long hair, you usually got a rebellious attitude.
Mm-hmm. You better keep your guard up.
Yep.
And one thing I've noticed, what little bit I've seen of TV, particularly when you go to something like this Walt Disney Channel and all, they got these kids with this fuzzy hair down around their ears. They look like the Beatles looked. When the Beatles brought long hair in. And now that hair that the Beatles have looks pretty short compared to a lot of them. It's all a sign of rebellion. Long hair on a man's rebellion and short hair on a woman's rebellion.
Did you hear about the 10 tornadoes hit Wisconsin on Sunday?
No.
It was the largest weather event, tornado-wise, in Wisconsin's history.
Wow.
Hardware stores can't keep up with demand after tornado. Ohio River rising, expected to reach flood stage. Dust bowl condition on the plains. Dust storm halts oil production. Yellowstone. The magma plume is 400 miles long, larger than thought. And Yellowstone's acting up again.
Yeah, Yellowstone's been belching and bulging and doing that for quite some time now, since all this year and into the end of last year. What little bit you can hear. You know, you almost have to go to the U.S. Geological website. You know, that's right up there in the top, you know, 400 billion at least, you know, and to see anything at all about that. You know, Chris, along those lines, I saw a thing. Ace Hardware stores in Arkansas are starting to hold how to protect your home against earthquake seminars. Ace Hardware.
Well, the government ran a... what they call it, a test, a drill for that whole region, for that, what is it called, the New Madrid Fault?
Mm-hmm.
All the way up through St. Louis and all the way down to the Arkansas and that whole area running an earthquake drill.
These are just birth pangs. They're just the beginning. When the Lord said it's complete destruction, it's going to be a destruction. Now, I've come to the conclusion that I've been studying this thing, trying to figure out what I'm going to be bringing tomorrow. I know I promised that I would be bringing some Day of the Lord do's and don'ts. There are certain things to do and certain things don't do. But this destruction has happened before. I am confident it happened in between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. In the beginning, God created. And then verse 2 says, and it became void. He wiped things out there, and then he wiped things out again in the time of Noah. This is his world, and he will do what he wants with it, and he is not going to let sin get by.
Yeah. You know, Isaiah 24, I just marked it when we were talking earlier. Judgment on the earth. Behold, the Lord lays the earth waste. He devastates it. He distorts its surface and scatters its inhabitants. So none of this Mother Nature, none of this, you know, there may be sunspots, there may be planet coming in, there may be this and that, but it says here, the Lord lays the earth waste.
That's because
that's who does it.
You know, you hear all those other things because they don't believe God is a sovereign God.
Right.
I mean, they don't think he has control over half right. the things that go on.
Right. I've seen family members that have had healings stare him right in the face. You know? You know, my dad was healed of lung cancer. You know, here he had it hot, active, burning, fast. Mr. Parrish, we've got to deal with this, on and on and on. So when they finally cut it out, it's just a rock. That was, they couldn't even get it to grow in the lab. And I remember talking to my uncle, my dad's brother, you know, years after that. And he just couldn't, he could not give God the credit. Well, you know, the doctor misdiagnosed it back then and this and that. And that's how so many of our people are. Anybody, anything can get credit except God. Because if I think that they know that if they give him credit for one thing, it opens up the floodgates.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And they just...
Well, it has. They'd have to change their whole belief system.
Yes.
Here's an article called Apocalypse and the New Madrid Fault. And in looking at the map, I just realized something about that New Madrid Fault. It's right in the middle of what was called the Bible Belt.
That's over there in the, what, from Arkansas and Missouri and over?
Well, the Bible Belt was considered to run from Texas through, up through Arkansas, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, that whole southeastern region.
Basically the Confederacy.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, I got a phone call this week from a man, and he was quite upset because this, he's been studying into this radiation thing. People aren't being told how this radiation is increasing, even over here in this country. Fat. And he said, you know, people got to do this and do that. And I've come to the conclusion, there's nothing you can do in the physical. It's got to be in the spiritual. It's got to be by faith. And we've got to approach this thing like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. And one of the things they had, they said, you know, if we die, we die. But they were going to go through that fire, and they went through it. But they went through it with that attitude. And I believe that there will be the remnant that make it through. Now, they didn't have any idea that the Red Sea would open up. I personally have a thought. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit gave it to me. I'm not saying that I see a scripture that teaches it. I'll just throw it out to you. But I believe that there are portals and there's other dimensions, and that's been proved mathematically as far as other dimensions go. And when the Lord is ready, he'll open that baby up, and the remnant will step through. When they were getting ready to throw Christ off the cliff, the Bible says all of a sudden it says he was not. What happened? Where'd he go? Well, I think God has more than one way that he can get us through and safe on the other side while everybody else, in this case, doesn't drown, they burn. That's the way we got to approach it.
That's right. He is able to deliver.
Amen.
And, you know, I think of the condemnation that so many people are going to have on Judgment Day, you know, where it talks about, and I think it's 1 Peter 3:21, where it talks about baptism now saves us. It goes on to say that it's, we won't condemn ourselves. We'll have a clear conscience, you know. And that's where we got to be, because that's the only way you can go into that fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. They had this attitude about them that God's going to deliver me. But if he's not, I'm still his.
Yeah, the Lord, you know, is able.
Like Paul said, you know, whether I live in Christ, or whether I die in Christ, you know. And if you have that attitude, if you have that clear conscience, no condemnation, then these things shouldn't bother you, you know.
Well, Well, where the serpents are so wise, and what they're going to do is the same with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is to try to get them to bow before Baal because of all these tribulations coming. So our attitude has to be more than just, if I die, I die. Well, it should be, if I die or not, it doesn't matter to me. I'm still not going to bow before Baal.
Right. And in this case, instead of bowing, I think we should use the word fearing. Mm-hmm. I am not going to fear.
Yeah. And then accept Babylon as the solution to the matter.
Right. You remember when Sodom and Gomorrah burned and Lot and his family, his wife and children came out? His wife turned around and looked back. Do you have any idea why she turned around and looked back?
I thought two ways. One, she wanted to see the destruction, or two, she just longed to go back. She enjoyed living there.
Anybody else got a comment?
I figured she had somebody she loved back there. I don't know.
Yep. The book of Jasher says she had other children in her household.
Ah.
And she was looking back. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You've got to love God more than your children. And you can't live without your children. I know. You put God first. And she just didn't think she could go on. She had to take a look back. And God didn't go for that.
And there is nothing behind us. There's nothing of this world that can even compare.
Well, the scripture says that we are to put our hope completely on the kingdom to come. And that's what we're to be looking for. Looking to and hastening the day of the Lord.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people think, oh my goodness, oh, well, how are we going to do it? You're not going to make it. Yeah. Because we want the kingdom.
And we want as many people to find the kingdom that can.
Absolutely.
You know, and we got, you know, there's a chance, there's only less than a month times left to find that. You know, I'm just saying there's a chance. There's always a chance. But we need to get the word out. You know, you better get into that rock, and you better get in there now, because there's gonna come a day where you won't have time to get into that rock.
Right.
You know, and that's where we're gonna be, like Lot's wife was. You know, all those people that denied the rock, Jesus Christ, you know, that, you know, we're probably gonna have those feelings where, you know, I want to run back and save them, but just like that, you know, that duster that you brought out lately, Pastor, is there's going to be a time where, you know, you're not taking me down with you, you know. Yeah.
And, you know, that really came to mind, too. We had, it was from a physical thing, but when we, you know, this radiation scare first popped up, and we announced that we had some potassium iodate, and it was announced that, you know, that it'll first go out to supporting members of the congregation. And I can think of two specifically people that called, oh, I'm a friend of so-and-so's, and could you send me a couple bottles? And I said, no. Do you get our newsletter? No. Well, I pastor baptized me back in 1989. Haven't heard hide nor hair from him.
Yeah, never supported, nothing.
And I said, no. I said, you can call me back in a couple weeks, and if we have some left over. And it just brought to mind the same thing. They haven't bought it, the wise and foolish virgins.
Yep.
You know, you need to buy it now. You need to get it now.
Hey, he's talking about now. We're about out of time now, friends. It's,
goodness.
It went by fast.
Real quick, did you hear about the earthquakes that happened this week in Japan?
No.
So far, I found two. I know that they had a 6.3, and I think they had another smaller one, but those are still significant earthquakes.
No, those are just aftershocks.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
That's how they report them.
Yep.
Yeah.
May the Lord Jesus Christ bless those of you that are his, bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift his countenance on you, grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Rolling, 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 stay calm.
this country stolen. Keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and pray together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting.